In today's political climate, it's hard not to get discouraged, isolated, doom-scrolling, lacking a sense of purpose or community. It's easy to become overwhelmed by the dire state of American democracy and do nothing because, well, why try when the odds are never in our favor? At this fragile moment in history, Emily Amick, lawyer and former counsel to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, alongside with New York Times bestselling author Sammy Sage, want to reframe civic engagement as a form of self-care, an assertion of one's values and self-respect. The new book, Democracy in Retrograde, How to Make Changes Big and Small in Our Country and in Our Lives, is not just about voting, but about claiming your singular place in your country and in your community. Emily Amick is co-author of the book. She is a lawyer, journalist, and political analyst who served as counsel to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. Again, the name of the book is Democracy in Retrograde, and we welcome Emily Amick to the roundtable this morning. Emily, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Really nice to have you on the program. What brought you to want to look at this subject in this particular way?
So I am an Instagram influencer. That is one of the interesting turns my life has taken. I was a journalist before I went to law school and became a practicing lawyer. And as an Instagram influencer, I am talking to people every single day. And what I was hearing from people was, I am so hopeless. I feel so exhausted. What can I do? How can I get engaged? And frankly, a two-sentence response just wasn't sufficient. I had a 200-page response that I wanted to give them. And so we wrote a book.
All right. So let me ask that question then, which is, why is it such a complex question to answer?
I think because politics is personal. And the only way to turn civic engagement from a biannual freakout into a daily habit that is really sustainable is to come up with a way that it is sort of really authentic to yourself, really cup-filling, something that you want to be engaged in. So the question is, how can we help people walk through that process of finding, by the end of the book, you have a civic action plan.
Right.
And how do we walk you through getting to a place where you find one that you're going to be able to do every single week and gives you a plan that is sustainable and fun and really adds joy and meaning to your life.
So just so we're all on the same page, could you define how you define influencer?
Sure. So an Instagram influencer for me is someone who has a platform on Instagram, who uses Instagram, and there are people who they influence. And I am more of a vocational influencer, but I consider pretty much everyone who has a social media account to be an influencer. In the same way, so many of us in our communities influence our friends and family about politics, about our values, about everything. So I spend a lot more time posting on Instagram than normal people. But, you know, I obviously, everyone is biased. Everyone has political and policy opinions. I certainly have my own set of them. And I seek to not only influence my followers to share my political opinions, but to hold their own political opinions, to find the things that they believe in and to sort of advocate passionately for those things.
So when it comes to the advocating for those things and for us to enter civic engagement, one, why is that so important, do you feel? And two, why are people hesitant to do it?
Well, there's so many reasons civic engagement is important, and it's hard to answer that succinctly. I'll say one of the reasons is we have a loneliness epidemic in this country. Yeah. America is becoming fractured. People are polarized. They are calcified. They are tribalized. We have a very serious issue in this country. And the only way we can really turn the tides on those issues and more broader sort of infrastructural political issues we have, like minority rule, is for more people to get engaged civically. And I think for more of us to sort of fight the loneliness epidemic, that means we need to find places where we can be, you know, it's the third places of it all. Find places where we can be together, share community with our neighbors, meet people who are not exactly like us, get out of the social media echo chambers for some of us who are terminally online, and really have those face-to-face conversations. And for me, that is what is so meaningful about civic engagement. And I think is such a possibility for sort of regaining control about American public life.
You talk in the book of how it is possible to tailor civic engagement to the values that we have, our skills, our passions, our resources, and time. How do we do that, and how time-consuming is that?
I think what's absolutely critical is for everyone to realize that civic engagement sort of goes along with the seasons of your life. There are times if you have three little kids in your house and you're trying to get them to school, do doctor's appointments, get food on the table, do your own job, you only have so much time in the day. So the question is, how can you find a way to fit civic engagement in that enmeshes in your life? One of the things we talk about in the book is identifying a civic calendar. So if you have a bunch of kids, why don't we find civic activities that are also fun for your kids to do that involve them? Everything doesn't have to be going to like your local zoning committee,
Right.
though for people like me, that's sort of fun. I am my favorite topic to discuss is speed bumps and how I think it's like one of the funnest political actions to take. But
Rotaries and speed bumps. That's
My political philosophy in general is a rising tide lifts all boats. And the way you rise a tide is thousands of raindrops. And we need everybody to just be doing a little bit. And that's how we build up communities. And that's how we get ourselves improving and on the right track. And so for me, it's about helping people figure out what's attainable for them. And we have lots of different suggestions. And this isn't really a traditional book. We call it a choose your own adventure guide because there's a personality quiz, there's a way, a sort of we walk through developing your personal civic mission statement, and lots of other sort of fun, practical journaling exercises to help you figure out what works for you and is right for you. Because at the end of the day, I can't tell people what to do. They have to want to do it.
We are talking to Emily Amick, who is the co-author of the new book, Democracy in Retrograde: How to Make Changes Big and Small in Our Country and in Our Lives. You just used the word attainable, and that seems to be a really important thing in the book as you build a civic life to, and perhaps it's common sense, it probably should be common sense, but to build something that is actually sustainable.
Yeah, I think one thing I hear from people so often is they feel so overwhelmed by all of the world's problems. And they're like, I can't solve climate change, so I'm not going to do anything. And
Right.
no single person can solve climate change, and so many of the issues we talk about are these massive national issues that involve Supreme Court litigation, and they are massive cruise ships that are impossible to turn quickly. But that doesn't mean there's no place for people in politics because of that. And so, one of the things that we really want to empower people to do is to think about how there's ways to get civically engaged that works for their lives and where they're going to be able to rebuild that hope in government in the process, work on things that actually are going to have outcomes that they are able to viscerally feel and see. And maybe it's some local policy issue, but also maybe it's direct service. Maybe it's hosting a book club where you build community with your neighbors and you provide food to a senior citizen who lives on your block, right? Like there's
Right.
all of these other things that are part of our civic life. It's the bowling leagues of it all. And sometimes I think we are very, very focused on some key big political national issues when in fact there's so much else that we could all be doing and discussing.
You just used the word empowering, and you talk in the book a lot about empowering women to better our nation. Talk a little bit about that and how you see that as, again, attainable and something that is necessary.
So I grew up in Texas, and I have a lot of friends who are sort of still in the mindset of no politics at the dinner table, who are the type of women who have been taught that it's not really polite to talk politics. And a lot of this book is reframing civic engagement as self-care. And we consider it self-care for yourself and for your community and our country. And we think there's a lot of empowerment to be found in stepping into the power of your voice by making a difference in your community. And getting involved in your community can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different people, as I've said repeatedly. But I mean, it is a way for you to say, I have these values, I have these interests, I care about my family, and I'm going to try to build a community that reflects that.
How do you know when self-care has been achieved?
I think that it hasn't. You know, one of the conversations that people have a lot now about self-care is it's become very commoditized. It's like about selling candles. It's not actually about caring for yourself. And, you know, and look, I love a bubble bath, but I also want the water that I bathe in to not be replete with chemicals. So what does it mean to be self-care? It means to have a healthy life where we are happy, we are able to have joy in our lives. It means clean air, it means good roads, it means sending my kids to quality schools. You know, all of those things I think are part of it. And I think there's, you know, it's a more existential question, like what is the meaning of life here? But it's about finding that joy in your everyday.
Well, it seems I understand the joy part. I guess I'm looking for how you, if you're looking at civic engagement as self-care, how do you notice the results along the way? Because that seems to me to be integral if you are going to continue and not become disappointed that things aren't happening.
So I think two things for that. Number one, how do I see people? How do I see it as self-care? I will get DMs from people who will tell me, I never before thought I could stand up at a school board meeting and make my voice heard. And I did it. And I said it. And I feel different. And that's incredibly meaningful for me to see and hear from people who are really stepping into themselves in that self-care. But I also think it's about, you know, really thinking of who we are as a community and what that means for each other. Like, how do we all sort of come together and decide where our community is going towards? And that is sort of what I view as the self-care of it all for the community.
Where do leaders fit into all of this?
That's a really great question. So one of the core ideas of democracy in retrograde is maybe the current people who are gaining political leadership in this country do not reflect the actual majority of this country. And we as the democratic base of this country, meaning like the people who still hold power because we're still a democracy, are the ones who need to regain leadership. And so when we're thinking big picture national politics, I think it's a lot about empowering people to realize how much power they have as leaders with our votes and with our sort of power building process. Another thing in the book is talking about what does it mean to be a leader? You know, I think what is leadership today, politics? Because I talk to women, if you have three kids and you are leading your family and deciding what your vacations are and figuring out where everyone's going to school and what those health appointments are, you know, that is incredible leadership skills. And those are the type of skills that I want to see in my political leaders. So one of the things we're also trying to do is ask people to reconsider whether they themselves are the leaders they should be running for office and think about themselves in a new way.
You, as I mentioned in the introduction, you served as counsel to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. There's that word leader right in his title. Do you think and I'm not really taking you don't have to answer this in regards to Chuck Schumer, but that people in those positions see the personal power that others have and take that into consideration?
I think that the core of what it means to be an elected official is your job is to earn people's votes. That is the crux of your job is not actually to legislate and to create policy, right? Like at the end of the day, that is the pulley or lever of your job. So I think that they see the power of other people when those people organize and are able to whip votes. It is why one of the things we encourage is more local engagement, because you as a single constituent are much, you have a much stronger ability to wield your power when you are a higher proportion of the total number of voters, right? Like your mayor is going to listen to you a lot more than Chuck Schumer, especially if you don't live in New York State. But I think that, you know, when we're looking at national politics, like when we're looking at the Senate, I think social media has really changed things for good and for bad. And it's a really interesting conversation, but my experience working in the Senate has been they're able to get a lot more information a lot quicker about what people are saying. And that feedback loop has changed their view of everything. It has is informing them quicker and is changing how they respond, especially in the press and media.
When you think of how this book, how you would like to see this book used, and this is for both of you, of how you think that we should take this and look at the importance of our role and how we use it, especially with a huge election coming up.
I think that a lot of people are very overwhelmed and they are currently totally checked out. And we need people to check back in. And it's not just about the top of the ticket. It's about all the way down the ballot. And, you know, one of the things I've heard people talking about is that this is going to be the election of reverse coattails, that there's actually going to be a huge group of people who are getting out to vote because they care about down ballot issues. We're talking about abortion ballot measures, people who care about the makeup of the Senate, the makeup of the House, but also state legislatures. People are increasingly starting to see the power of state legislatures to define our lives and to decide what legislation is going to go up to the Supreme Court. So when I think about sort of what I hope people take away from this book, it's that A, what you currently have right now is enough. You know enough, you have enough skills to get involved civically. And you don't need, there's nothing, there's no certification that you need to become civically engaged. And the second thing is, there's a way to make it hopeful and joyful and something that you're actually going to want to do. It doesn't need to be like a homework assignment that you really, really, really don't want to participate in, but feel like you have to.
And it doesn't end at the end of the election cycle.
That's right. That's right. It can't be a biannual freakout. It has to be a daily habit.
Emily Amig is the co-author of the new book, Democracy in Retrograde, How to Make Changes Big and Small in Our Country and in Our Lives. Emily, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you so much.
Be well. Thank you very much. Take care. Again, Emily Amig is co-author along with Sammy Sage of the new book, Democracy in Retrograde, How to Make Changes Big and Small in Our Country and in Our Lives. The book is published by Gallery. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.